Welcome to the Purpose Inspired podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Visser, and this season is based on my book, Thriving, the Breakthrough Movement to Regenerate Nature, Society, and the Economy. Let's get to it. Paradox. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities. The worst and best of humanity. I know what the worst of times and the best of times look like, because I have lived through both. I was born in Zimbabwe and grew up in South Africa at a time when these countries were still ruled by colonial white minorities that systematically oppressed their black and brown majority populations. Both nations practiced institutionalized racism with the backing of the law and the enforcement might of a police state. I did not actively advocate for these despicable policies. Nevertheless, I was complicit in upholding the evil system known as apartheid. I lived in Cape Town, South Africa. I went to a whites-only school, enjoyed visits to whites-only beaches, and used whites-only public toilets. By the time I went to university in 1988, thankfully, the edifice of apartheid was crumbling, and by 1990, President F.W. de Klerk was enacting numerous reforms, undoing the ban on Nelson Mandela's party, the African National Congress, placing a moratorium on the death penalty, ending the state of emergency, and starting the release of political prisoners. At the same time, I was belatedly being educated about the injustices of apartheid, largely thanks to my professor of labor economics at the University of Cape Town, Francis Wilson, and the enlightened programs of ISEC. I am living proof that it is possible for values to change. On the 10th of May 1994, I celebrated with millions in South Africa and around the world when President Nelson Mandela was inaugurated as the first democratic leader of the country. We were euphoric about the political miracle that had happened, and I felt deep solidarity and pride in our reborn nation. The hard tasks of reconciliation, building national unity, and ensuring economic development still lay ahead. But we were in the process of regeneration, and there is nothing more life-affirming and inspiring than having such a positive collective purpose. Even today, more than 25 years later, the process of South Africa's regeneration is not complete. Some might argue there have even been lapses into degeneration, but no one ever said thriving is easy. Looking back at South Africa and the world then and now, perhaps we should not be surprised at the lack of progress on many issues. Societal transformation is a generational undertaking, and we are still mid-transition. That battle for equality and dignity in South Africa took nearly 50 years of relentless activism against the minority-ruled nationalist government that took power in 1948. It was an ugly war, and many lives were lost in the process. But in the end, history will judge that it was worth it. Thriving triumphed. South Africa showed the world what is possible, the worst and the best of what humans are capable of. In retrospect, I can see that apartheid was a system based on three destructive values. It was exclusive, benefiting the minority in power. It was exploitative, abusing labor and human rights. And it was extractive, cashing in natural resources. Value was being created, but only for the few, at the expense of the many and the environment. That degenerative system was dismantled by Mandela's government, but it seems to me that we still live within a system of global apartheid, which is exclusive, exploitative, and extractive. The only difference is that South Africa's apartheid was a political system fueled by misguided nationalistic ideals, and our global apartheid is an economic system fueled by misguided neoliberal capitalist ideals. A moment of dangerous opportunity. It is this conviction that we may have won the battle against apartheid in South Africa, but we still need to win the war against global apartheid, that has driven me in my own work to advance sustainable development during the past 30 years. But now it seems to me that we are at an inflection point. In the same way that South Africa could have descended into civil war and economic chaos, but instead chose the road to an inclusive, empowering, and restorative future, so too we have a choice as a global society between degeneration and regeneration, between falling apart and coming together, between fragmentation and integration, between decline and thriving. This crisis is a civilization-wide challenge to which we can and must rise. But will it be enough to trigger the great reset that the World Economic Forum is calling for? Naomi Klein, who has made a career out of studying crises and capitalism, says a shocking event such as a financial crisis or a pandemic is necessary but not sufficient. The other two vital ingredients, she says, are a utopian imagination, meaning a compelling vision of what better looks like, and movement muscle, namely an organized mobilization of people behind powerful causes. We also need to go beyond no, what we don't want, to yes, what we do want. Most likely, therefore, those who are expecting society or the economy to transform post-COVID will be disappointed, but they will not be wrong. The calls for a great reset or for green bailouts will find traction in some places but not in others. Most governments, companies, and citizens will try to get back to normal, to restore business as usual. But do not mistake the lack of widespread visible changes for a lack of underlying, more fundamental change. The system has already shifted irrevocably, and some of the most profound and impactful transformations will be from small changes in mindset and actions that even now are rippling and accumulating across our interconnected global society. We face many important questions as we enter this reset era. One could be, should we kill off sustainability at the same time? Will it help or hinder our great transformation? Already John Elkington, who coined the triple bottom line of sustainability in 1994, by which he meant a company's social, environmental, and economic impact, retracted it 25 years later as a failed management concept, in the same way a corporation might recall a faulty car. One problem with the sustainability agenda, including the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals, is that rather than being transformational, as Elkington hoped, it has been a story of compromise. There is a danger that we continue to advocate for sustainable development while failing to change the underlying system that is the root of our unsustainability. There is also the danger that whatever progress we may be making on sustainability, the forces of breakdown will overtake and overwhelm us. It will be a case of too little, too late. That's why the paradigm shift I'm most excited about, and the one that has unprecedented potential for resetting our relationship with nature, society, and the economy, is thriving, the subject of this season's podcast. But before we explore the six shifts powering that compelling vision of the future, we must begin at the time and place in which we find ourselves. A tangle of knotty problems. Many of you may, like me, be feeling discombobulated. That's a strange word, but then these are strange times. The word means confused or disconcerted, which certainly captures the prevailing zeitgeist. We are caught between conflicting yet simultaneous realities of suffering and tragedy happening all around us to millions of people, and for some, of healing, rejuvenation, and reconnection to family and nature. Some are going through the fire of crisis, stress, and overwork, while others are in the quiet eye of the storm, a place of eerie stillness, isolation, and inactivity. The years 2020 and 2021 have been nothing if not strange. It's been a time of paradox, when apparent contradictions are now the new normal. And yet, as I will describe shortly, COVID-19 is only one of many crises the world faces. We need to step back and consider all the other ways in which these are discombobulated times. After all, we may have walked through the inferno of a pandemic, but we will emerge on the other side to find that there are other fires blazing. Some have been raging for years and have not gone away during our moments of distraction, such as income inequality and climate change. Others are newer but spreading with worrying speed, such as the recent waves of divisive populism and the digital divide. Large global challenges are often talked about as being wicked problems. The term was first coined by Berkeley design professor Horst Rittel in 1967, and then elaborated in 1973 as having special characteristics. Originally, they were thought of as dilemmas facing the planning profession. However, they have gained universal significance and have some interesting properties. For example, every wicked problem is a symptom of another problem. Hence, wicked problems never have easy solutions. In fact, they are almost by definition unsolvable. Nevertheless, in our efforts to tackle them, we can produce better or worse outcomes. My own preference is that we should think of our global challenges as entangled rather than wicked, since the latter implies something evil and tempts us to look for villains. Instead, these problems, for example, poverty, climate change, and species loss, are more like an entangled ball of twine. How knotty the problem is depends on whether it is loosely or tightly entangled, and whether there is alignment or divergence between those tugging at the strings. Simply pulling harder on one string will probably only make it worse. The way to untangle these problems is to work patiently, locally, carefully, and collaboratively at loosening and unraveling. So let us briefly grapple with six tangles of knotty problems, which I call the forces of fragmentation. Today they form a web of breakdown, including degradation, depletion, disparity, disease, disconnection, and disruption. Well, that's it for this time. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join me again next time when the story of Thriving continues. Just a reminder that if you don't yet have your copy of Thriving, you can get it at any retailer as an ebook, an audiobook, or a hardback. You may also be interested in the Thriving podcast, where I speak with various thinkers and practitioners of thriving and regeneration. You can find that by searching on your favorite podcast platform for Thriving the Breakthrough Movement. And finally, you might be interested in becoming a thriving facilitator. If that sounds interesting to you, then do reach out and I can send you more information, or you can find it on my website, waynevisser.com. That's it for now, and we'll see you again next time. Hope you have a wonderful week.